Good morning. So a big part of what we do here, all of us do, is we try to support folks in need in the local area within Chatham. And we partner with multiple organizations. Today we have Rebecca Hankins, which I'd like to call up, and she works with CORA, who is really one of the big organizations in town. I think everybody knows what they do. They provide food for a lot of folks in need, and they do it through different means. I mean, I know that through some of our associations with the Kiwanis, there's, you know, one example where they provide snacks for children who don't have, because they don't have school, they don't have the snacks that they get through the schools, and so Kiwanis acts as a distribution for that. But it really all comes through CORA, and so Rebecca, if you'd please come up. We here at PPC would like to present you with this.
Thank you so much.
For allowing CORA to help us partner with you folks.
Well, I want to say thank you so much for this, and thank you for having me this morning. I think the last time I spoke in front of a church was in the early 80s at probably a Christmas pageant or something, but so I'm a little nervous. When I was thinking about this talk, I started to think about one line of scripture that has meant a lot to me, and that's Matthew 25, verse 35. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. For I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. And I think that really summarizes the work of CORA in our community. CORA is more than just a nonprofit organization that addresses food insecurity in Chatham County. I mean, on paper, we're a food pantry that serves food in a grocery store style across from the library. This year, we're gonna serve over 12,000 people a million meals. But we are so much more than just that brief description. CORA is really a place of hope and comfort for many in our community, in your community. We are a place of hope, a respite from people's struggles, where there's always an empathetic ear and supportive smiles to help them through their day. It might be surprising to know, but more often than not, there's lots of laughter at CORA going through those halls. There's much more laughter and happiness than there is sorrow. And I think that's because these people who might come in as strangers leave feeling like they're really valued members of our caring community, and they truly are. And gifts from the faith community like yours demonstrates a partnership that we're building a community without hunger together. And we really appreciate your gift to our capital campaign, because sometimes people just need a little help. It's the story of a young mom who was able to get free groceries and could use that money for her electricity bill. So her and her two young boys had heat in January. Last year, it's the story of an elderly couple who came in who hadn't eaten in 3 days. In that month, they were able to have food and not have to make the tough decision between medication and groceries. And it's a young little boy who did a little happy, funny dance because he got Cheerios through the snack program. Two boxes of Cheerios. All of these examples truly illustrate the power of your gift to CORA. The food that we provide to families facing poverty allows them to reallocate some of their money to much needed things such as rent, electricity, medication. And sometimes people are just happy to get their favorite foods, like Cheerios. Your church's support of the capital campaign will enable us to reach more people. With this gift, we are gonna put it towards our new building, which is gonna double our space by 100%. So we're gonna have 100% more space for the pantry. It'll still be grocery style, but it'll be bigger and nicer. And as well, we're gonna have 100% more for our food storage, which is gonna allow us to provide more variety of foods. Because we have so much more space, we'll be able to have more purchasing power to buy more bulk, which brings down the cost of food. And we'll be able to bring in, hopefully, we're thinking a lot more nutritious, fresh produce, you know, yogurt, milk, egg, cheese. Maybe have those things currently, but you know, probably more of it. So I just want to say thank you. Your donation is really helping a lot of people. Like I said, over 12,000 people. It truly means so much to Cora, and we would not be able to help the people without support like yours. If you've never been to Cora, I'm going to be staying after. If you want to talk to me, we do tours. If you're looking for something to do, we have a lot of volunteer opportunities that we would more than welcome anybody to come in and help us. But again, I just want to say thank you so much. We are so blessed to live in this amazing community that helps so many people. So thank you so much.
At the beginning of God's creating of the heavens and the earth, when the earth was wild and waste, darkness over the face of ocean, rushing Spirit of God hovering over the face of the waters. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And then John 14:8-27. Philip said to him, Philip was not writing this, or they wouldn't have put who said this. Philip, poor Philip. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied." And Jesus said to him, "Have you been with me all this time, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I don't speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. For truly, very truly, amen, amen, truly, truly, I say to you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. In fact, one who believes in me will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. This advocate is the Spirit of truth that the world cannot receive, because it can neither see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you. This holy advocate abides with you and will be in you. I've said these things while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit of the Father, will send in my name, will teach you everything. The Spirit will teach you everything. The Spirit will remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. And I do not give as the world gives. I do not let your hearts be troubled, and I do not let them be afraid." The Word of God for the people of God. I invite the young disciples to please come forward. Okay.
All right.
Does anybody know what this is? All right. Let's mic you up here. What is it?
just speak into that. What did you say this was? Oh, no. What did you just talk into it? Makes your voice loud.
Like this.
Yeah. And this. And what's this stuff in here?
Water.
That's right. It's water. Now, this is where it gets hard, and this is where Presbyterians squirm a little bit. Does anybody remember Bible stories about water?
I do.
You do?
Well, I'm a brother. I like water dirt, and my favorite color is the rainbow.
Ooh, the rainbow has water in it. Did you know that? And that was about a story with Noah and water.
There's a story where Jesus got baptized, and baptizing uses water.
That's right. Jesus himself got baptized and used water. Anybody else know any stories in the Bible with water? Those are some of the big ones.
I remember a story where a man prayed for something to drink, and then it rained, and he drank the rainwater.
Yep, there was a story about water in that sense, too. Here, why don't y'all stand up and follow me over here for a second? Y'all come right over here, right over here. Now, what happens when we use water in the sink and the faucet? What happens to it?
It comes out really fast, and you can use it to wash your hands, get a drink, stuff like that.
And then what happens to it after it goes off our hands?
Then the drink goes in the sink.
That's right, it goes down the sink. And is it gone forever?
Uh-huh.
It's gone. It's gone to us forever, it seems like. But does anybody know, are we going to run out of water? Is it all up in the water tower? And when that runs out, we have no more water ever again? That's what it seems like. What do you think?
It goes out into the ocean.
It eventually goes out into the ocean. And then is it stuck in the ocean forever? And the ocean's just going to get bigger and bigger and we're going to run out of water?
But we'll never run out of water. If it keeps raining, we'll still get more water.
So it somehow goes from the ocean to rain? How does it do that?
It's a water cycle.
Wow. That's right. So, you know what that means? The very water that John the Baptist sprinkled on Jesus' head might be, one drop of it might be in that water, because this water keeps being reused. This water is the same water that was in ancient times. And it keeps moving around. You know that rainbow?
I need that candle.
The candle just makes it look pretty and reminds us of God's spirit.
Now it's my turn. Can I talk to the rainbow?
Okay, say a few things.
Rainbow, come out the water. I find my rain.
That's right. Rainbow comes out of water. And so when that very first rainbow happened, one of the little tiny sparkles in that rainbow that the sun shone through and made one of the colors might be right there in this picture. And have you seen a rainbow, a real rainbow in real life? Well, the next time you see a rainbow, one of those little pieces of water in that rainbow might be one of the same droplets that came out of this water. Do you want to touch this water? Just put your finger in. Yeah. Yeah. It's wet. You don't have to get too wet. It's kind of Presbyterian wet. Anybody else want to touch it? It's genuine water. Nah, you'll get it later. Okay. All right. All right, well, here. Oh, yeah, okay, now you're ready. There you go. You might be a future minister. All right, we'll get to that in a minute. But here, let's say a prayer. We all gather around and we'll say a prayer. And then I need help from the older disciples too. You going to help pray? You want to say the prayer?
Uh-huh.
Okay, you say it. Say it. Just a few words.
Jesus, King of Bless, thank you for your food.
Thank you.
Bless.
Thank you. And that serves as the blessing for later on. So we don't need a blessing for the food later on at lunch. And let's say, I want to say one more and get everybody to help me with this. Holy God, thank you for water. And remind us of your love through water. Amen. All right. Here, go to Mama and Dada. There you go. We can divide the Red Sea. All right. So briefly, want to look at the importance of the Holy Spirit because it's Pentecost. This is the red, and when this is the, it's very interesting that the candle was pointed out that we have a live flame in here, and we thank our insurance company for allowing us to have a live flame in an old church. But we have the flame, the red, Pentecost, and it's one Sunday out of the year, although technically we're in the season of Pentecost until we get to another color. So we could turn it to green later and call it ordinary time. If you feel like your life is just so busy and you just need to rest on the Sabbath and we just need some ordinary time, we'll flip it green. But if you feel like, well, you can't stop the Holy Spirit, we're on fire, then we'll keep it red and we'll just keep living into this time of Pentecost. We Presbyterians can look at it either way. But today we can't. Today is Pentecost. So what is the importance of the Holy Spirit? And also, and my sermon topic has shifted ever so slightly. Instead of focusing on the Holy Spirit as the giver and renewer of life, which it is, we're going to focus on what's the connection of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and truth. What is that connection? Because we just heard it in the scripture reading that the Spirit is truth. So how does that all work? Well, we learn logic at a very young age, don't we? We learn that this is a square, but this is a circle. This is red, but this is blue. 1 + 1 = 2. And we can use that logic. In fact, people like Jose and other people in here can use that logic to create amazing computer programs that can do just about anything. Our sound system, electricity, so many of the things that we use to build things and create infrastructure and technology use this amazing logic. But the logic has a little bit of a downfall too. Because although logic makes sense and is the basis of learning, of this is different from this, and there's right and there's wrong. Hello, what's this gray stuff? It's either right or it's wrong. Every once in a while, logic can let us down. Logic can sometimes let us down. We can look at that at the Pharisees. God bless the Pharisees. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Pharisees, because they're so fun to make fun of and to belittle, you know, every Sunday, and to think, oh, those silly Pharisees, they were so wrong. Not talking about Evan today. We're talking about the Pharisees. But, you know, they knew the Bible. They knew the scriptures. They knew it like the back of their hand. And they probably knew the back of their hand very, very well. They knew what they thought God wanted, what God said God wanted, and could come up in front of the synagogues and pontificate about what is right and what is wrong. And then Jesus comes along and associates with sinners. How horrible. And we see where some of that breaks down in the Pharisees, that they're more worried about their image and how people look at them than they are about having compassion and living into God's calling. God's calling in the Hebrew Scriptures doesn't have much to say about, don't be considered, don't be seen with someone who's struggling. Don't be seen with someone who is a sinner. It says, don't sin. But it doesn't say, completely cut off all the sinners. We are supposed to be a light to the world. The whole point was to be a light unto the world, to the nations, so that everyone might realize, hey, these people have a special relationship with God. I want that. I want that. And so Jesus, what he called them was actors. You ever have a movie you love and a character you love in that movie? And you love the way it was on film and you say, oh, what an amazing actor. Is she like that in real life? Is he like that in real life? Is he so compassionate? Is he that brave, that courageous or whatever? And then every once in a while we find out through the news or whatever God bless them because they need to make a living, that they're not like that off stage. You know, off stage, they have their low moments and their bad times too. And so, yes, they played this part and were great in that show or in that movie, but in real life, they're not somebody you would want to be around, or at least not in this time of their life. And Jesus says to his disciples, says, do everything they say. They're not saying anything wrong, but don't do what they do, because all they do is walk around looking self-important. They don't help anybody. They don't help anybody, and they seem to be missing the greater picture. Anybody ever get in an argument with a loved one? An argument with a loved one? Nobody. Oh, well, forget it. Let's just call the kids. No. When we're in an argument with a loved one, think of all the things that come into our mind, our logical mind, of how the other person is wrong. How the other person is saying something wrong, how the other person has done something that is wrong. It's just very, isn't it very clear to us that someone has done something wrong or said something wrong or is missing the point or is blowing this completely out of the, you know, it's so clear in our body, in our mind, in our soul that it's wrong. It's black and white. You're wrong. Anybody ever gotten to the end of an argument? Or whatever comes after the end of the argument, and you hear a little bit more at some point, and you realize that we were wrong about something, that there was a little piece to the puzzle that we didn't know about, and now that we know that part, changes our whole outlook on the situation. Well, I was a little bit harsh there. I didn't realize that that's what happened before that. Please forget everything I say. where shall I sleep tonight? You know, there's this part of us that is logical, black and white, and it just can't quite get its hands on the truth. And so often in our regular daily life, we use truth for our own purposes, for our own advantage. We don't use it to seek the truth. We use it for our own advantage like the Pharisees, because it's so much easier to sound like an expert on the truth and people to see me as an expert than for me to do the hard work of looking at the truth about myself. You know? So, spirit of truth changes this. Instead of everyone in the world doing this all the time, where we're only looking at right and wrong and we're only manipulating the truth for our own advantage, all of a sudden we have this thing called the Spirit of Truth. And it's not a thing, it's the living God that allows us to look at things and to know the truth. Now, I know what you're thinking, the truth. Don't we all want to know the truth? Doesn't Jesus talk about the truth? But ironically, what really helps us get to the truth with a capital T is if we first start out with the lowercase t about the truth about me or the truth about my thoughts or my actions. Jesus references this throughout his ministry. He says, you probably have a lot to critique someone else about in their life. Tell you what, start with the plank that's in your eye and then grab your tweezers, a good strong candle, and go to work on the speck that's in someone else's eye. Until we get that log out of our own eye, what good is it, other than just to give God laughs, to see us trying to work and nitpick about someone else being wrong? And if we take time, the Spirit of Truth not only reveals to us the small truths about how petty we are or how narrow our thinking is sometimes, or how we get caught up in this and we can't shift gears to think about this. God not only reveals that to us, but gives us the power to want to change. I don't want to change every day. I don't. later after this long church day, I'm just going to want to try to relax. I'm not going to want to change. I'm not going to want to pack, and I'm not going to want to clean. I'm not going to want to do anything except just relax. But the Spirit will get into me sometime, maybe later today, maybe tomorrow, maybe later this week, and say, you know, now that you've kind of caught your breath a little bit, don't you want to be a better person? Don't you want to be a better person today? This little T hurts. It's not as exciting as truth that I can tell you how wrong you're about and how right I'm about. This little T is about the truth of ourselves. And some of it is not a bad truth. You know, some of the truth that we don't know is how lovable we are, how beautiful we are. Some of us can't see that. It's a log in our eye that prevents us from seeing it. Some of the truth is not as pleasant. It's that I don't want to be vulnerable. You know, I'll do anything, but I don't want to be vulnerable. Or I'll do anything, but I don't want to have to trust this or trust that. The little T helps us get to the big T. The little truths help us get to the big truths. And the Holy Spirit, which is truth itself, is in us and around us, and is going to take our hand and walk us through life and help us figure that out through life. We don't have to come to the complete truth about ourselves today. We don't have to come to the complete truth about ourselves tomorrow. And once we come more into terms with the truth about ourselves and how we work and how we were wrong about us, look at Paul. Paul was like, well, there's right and there's wrong. These Christ followers are wrong. He's a blasphemous rascal. And we need to jail up or kill and stone everybody that worships him. And I'll be doing the world and certainly God a big favor. And so off he goes to Damascus to do this and is blown off his horse and realizes, I've been wrong. I knew I was right, but now I know I was wrong. And so the Spirit, yes, it can do miracles. It can help us say amazing things. It can work through us in every time of our life. But please, let's use the Spirit also as the Spirit of truth, to invite that Spirit to tell us the truth. And let us see just a little glimpse of the truth about ourselves and some of our hang-ups, some of the blessings that God is pouring out that we're not ready to hear for whatever reason, that we just can't believe we're that beloved by God. Let's invite that Spirit to help chip away at that one day at a time. To God be the glory.
On behalf of the session, I present Leon and Cheryl Robbins, who are being received into the membership of this congregation by reaffirmation of faith.
You come to us as members of the one holy universal church into which you were baptized and by which you have been nurtured. We are one with each other, sisters and brothers in the one family of God, and we rejoice about the gifts that you, Leon and Cheryl, bring and have already been bringing to this congregation. And as you join with us in worship and service in this congregation, it is fitting that not just you, but we all reaffirm our faith, affirm what we believe when we were baptized. Hear these words from Ephesians 4:4-6. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. Sisters and brothers in Christ, our baptism is the sign and seal of our cleansing from sin and of our being grafted into Christ through the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Christ. The power of sin was broken and God's kingdom entered into our world. Through baptism, we were made citizens of God's kingdom and are freed from the bondage of sin. So let us celebrate that freedom and redemption through the renewal of the promises we all made at our baptisms. And so I will ask you, therefore, once again to reject sin, to to profess our faith in Jesus Christ and for us to confess our faith in the church where we have been baptized. So here are the questions. And I want all of you to, yes, enjoy this special moment with Cheryl and Leon and God, but also be thinking to yourself, yes, I said this. This is part of the truth I experienced too, or to ponder what that truth might mean. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? Do you? Do you turn to Jesus and accept him as Lord and Savior, trusting him, including his love and grace? Do you? Will you be Christ's faithful disciples, obeying his word and showing his love? Will you?
I will.
You have reaffirmed your faith. Now, will you be a faithful member of this congregation? Share in its worship and ministry through your prayers, your gifts, your study, your service, and follow your calling to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Will you? Thank you. All right, if y'all will just stay right there. And we'll, if you, Ellen, you'll grab some more people. This is easy. This is great. Would y'all like to come? Yeah, you can sit right there. It's fine. You want to sit down right there? Sit right there. That's good. That's good. And I'm going to invite Geneva and Mr. Nagila and Oliver. Let's see. I'll get the elder to present you.
On behalf of the Seth, I present Geneva Lester and Oliver Nagila to be baptized.
Sisters and brothers in Christ, our baptism is a sign and seal of our cleansing from sin and our being grafted into Christ. Through the birth, life, and death, and resurrection of Christ, the power of sin is broken and God's kingdom entered into our world. Through our baptism, we were made citizens of God's kingdom and freed from the bondage of sin. Geneva, do you desire for you and your son, Oliver, to be baptized? Great. Relying on God's grace, do you promise to live the Christian faith and to teach that faith to your child? Do you? All right. Ellen?
Do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Geneva and Oliver by word and deed, through love and prayer, encouraging them to know and follow Christ and to be faithful members of His Church?
We do.
All right. I'm going to ask you some of the same questions. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its ways in the world? Do you? Well, you can, this can be for you, and then he'll have a chance when he grows up a little bit to say it for himself too. And do you turn to Jesus and accept him as your Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace and love? And will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? And will you be a faithful member in this congregation, share in its worship and ministry, and through your prayers and gifts, study and service, fulfill your calling to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Will you? Praise be to God. Oliver, we're going to put some water in here, and I'm going to say a special blessing over it. Yeah, water. Holy God, we give you thanks that you nourish and sustain all things by the gift of water. In the beginning of time, your Spirit moved over the watery chaos, calling forth order and life. Send your Spirit to move over this water, that it may be a fountain of deliverance and rebirth. Wash away the sin of all who are cleansed by it. Raise them to new life, welcoming them into the body of Christ. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon them, that they may have the power to do your will, and continue forever in the risen life of Christ. To you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, be all praise and glory now and forever. So I'll baptize you first, and then I'll baptize Oliver. Geneva, child of the covenant, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost, now and forever. Oliver, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, now and forever. Amen. You are both baptized. Leon, Cheryl, will you come forward and y'all stay here too, and we'll say a special prayer. Holy God, we thank you so very much for what you do. We thank you so much for welcoming these, your servants, into your church to be nurtured and nourished every single day in your faith. We thank you, Lord, that you choose us so much longer and before than we can choose you. So continue to guide our steps and lead us along the way and help us to nurture others in the faith as we enjoy true life walking with you. In Christ's holy name, we give you all our thanks. And we all say, Amen. Amen. Welcome. Thank you so much.